When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. My name is Louis Meadows. Hope you guys are well. This is the big match preview on this week's show. We'll be looking back at the 2-2 draw with Wigan at the Valley in midweek and ahead to Saturday's trip up to the Abbey to take on Cambridge United. Joining me to discuss those two games, plus much, much more. First up, top right, is Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lou?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, are you looking forward to the impending takeover by that crazy Italian man?
That was the weirdest story I've ever seen. I forgot that he turned up at the Valley at one point. Like, sort of, I saw a video when I looked earlier of him sort of cheering with loads of Charlton fans. We must have played Leeds or something in the Championship, and he was outside speaking very aggressive Italian at the Charlton fans, and they were all singing "We love Cellino." But I think that's when Roland was here. So, you never know. Maybe he's already on the right foot, but I highly doubt it.
Yeah, no, it's obviously, we're not even going to discuss it further than that because it's already been quashed. It's just one of the weirder ways to suspend a mid-morning on a Thursday. Also, bottom of the screen there is Mark Newby. How are you, Mark?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. And does anything surprise me anymore with our club? No.
It certainly doesn't. But like I say, at least that's quickly quashed. So we will look back at the Wigan game. We're going to hear the goals very shortly. We're going to hear, of course, from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones. We're also going to hear from Chuk Saniki. I spoke to him after the game on Tuesday. Got his second goal of the season. Got one of the worst misses of the season as well. But he speaks about his frustration of how it has been quite difficult for him, of course, with injuries this year. Then we're going to look ahead to Cambridge. Jack from Under the Abbey Stand is going to join us to talk about Gary Monk's team and Lyle Taylor and Macaulay Bonn. Obviously, that strike duo that we desperately fear, although I believe Lyle Taylor might not be fit for the weekend. And we'll hear a little bit from Nathan on that game as well. Good evening to everyone in the chat. All Hell Let Loose says, good evening, fellow addicts and Louis Mendes and the Temptations. Andrew, Sam, Gary's in there, Jay's in there, Dudley and Michael. Dudley says, good evening to Louis and the Disciples, which I don't know if you'd rather be the Temptations or the Disciples, Lou, but that's up to you. But Murray's in there as well. Hi, Murray. Let us know what you guys made of the game on Tuesday. Any thoughts ahead of Saturday's trip to Cambridge as well? Any changes you'd like to see to the side? Or anyone who impressed you on Tuesday you'd like to see keep their place? Let us know in the live comments. Lewis, just before we hear the goals then, it was a strange old game, wasn't it? I mean, I think we should have won it. I think we did enough in terms of creating chances to win it, but then our defence happened again.
Yeah, it was a strange game. You're right. I can't quite believe we didn't win it because it felt like we had so many chances, and I couldn't believe, I think the start, I saw quite a few people say on Twitter this had to be the worst defence they've ever seen, and given they've watched us all season, that's some compliment to Wigan. Yeah, it was a weird game, very strange. I thought we were pretty good, and as you say, fell asleep defensively twice, and they were clinical with their goals with Kelman, and I was a bit disappointed to come away with just the point. It would have been nice to get the three, get back-to-back home wins, but you know, I think we're pretty much all but safe now, aren't we? It's like a real downturn for us to be in any trouble. I don't know if it's mathematical yet, but it's got to be pretty close. But you know, the performances have been much better. I think the common theme this season has been that defence. So that's something that we're going to no doubt wind the season down, and it will be something that Nathan will be keen to work on in the summer. That will probably play into the transfer business we want to do or the way we want to play. So all in all, I think I'm not really expecting a huge amount between now and the end of the season, just as long as the performances are there and we're seeing some, you know, decent shifts from some of the players, and they're putting it in and keeping us entertained for the final few games with safety pretty much confirmed. I think that's all we can hope for, really.
Excellent stuff. Right, well, let's have a listen then to the goals from Charlton TV on Tuesday evening. The commentators, as always, were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Coventry tried to send Carney through the middle. Didn't quite work, but Gillespie tries likewise. And now maybe May will pick it up, but he's just found his man, but it's an own goal. Now, will that count as an own goal, or will he pull it back for the foul on Hughes? And it looks like he's given the goal.
Well, we're going to complain in feeling that Hughes was fouled by Alfie May as this ball goes long by Gillespie in a game that hasn't really had a lot in it. It's a massive stroke of fortune that's given Charlton the lead.
Is Johnny Smith again. Smith up against Gillespie, looking to cut inside. Smith does so. Saved by Isted. Comes out towards Godu. Challenge from Hector. And there's Kelman. And Wigan have the equaliser. Charlie Kelman. In a game where Wigan haven't had a lot of chances, have nothing have an equaliser.
We can see that again. I mean, there's two things there. Firstly, just mentioned that he's only got a left foot. And we allow him to cut back on his left foot to get the shot away. Hint of offside as the ball was deflected back in. There's the shot.
No, maybe not. Bring it forward. There's space in the middle for Godu, who he finds. Godu back to Clare. Forward to Kelman. Chance defence goes, walks about. And the shot from Kelman takes the deflection off Gillespie. And Wigan have turned it around here. The space just opened up. Question marks between Hector and Thomas inside the Charlton penalty area. But it was the movement of Godu that initially created the space. And where on earth is the Charlton defence as Kelman steps forward? It comes off Gillespie, who's trying to retreat that space.
Gillespie's coming across from the left-hand side, trying to cover the two other centre-halves who just allow Kelman to go through.
Bringing himself on the right-hand side. Lualua further right. Now Lualua. Can he take his man on? No, back inside to Ramsey. He's got a bit of space. Kane Ramsey picks out the run of George Dobson in the area, who turns, lifts the ball back across, and there came a jump and finishes. That's a lovely goal from Charlton. A well-worked move. The lifted ball across, picked out Chuksunike perfectly, and the Addicts are back level.
It's a brilliant ball from Dobson. It's really intelligent from the Charlton captain. And Anike wasn't going to miss this one, was he? Shows his strength at the far post, gets across the ball, attacks it well.
There we go, that's the highlights then from Charlton TV of the 2-2 draw with Wigan at the Valley. And it was a late goal for Chuksunike that meant we got the point, that the unbeaten run continues, Mark. It probably should have been more though, really, shouldn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I think I would agree with everyone when they said that Wigan are one of the poorest sides I've seen this season. And they showed nothing. But apart from their young lad, Godo, who I think I got on loan from someone, he impressed me. But the rest of the Wigan side, as soon as we scored one, and they didn't make that bigger deal about it, and I think it would have been given, obviously, if the referee could have a look at it again, but I think less said about that ref, the better. And we had the chances to then score a second, and then we did our normal defensive, who are we again, what do we do for a living, 10 minutes of absolute pure madness. I mean, they had Mr. Tickley in goal. We had Mr. Inept and Mr. Slow in the back. And it was embarrassing. It was the way they scored twice so quickly. And it was just nothing. I mean, to get a draw out of it, we seem, well, at least we got a draw. We should have had more. But defending like that, do we deserve more? I don't think so. I think, you know, you take the point because, you know, we did attack and did attack. I don't know. I didn't see any replays of the penalty shout. A few people had said possibly. But no, I think it was one of those games where I think we got what we deserved. But it's something hopefully Nathan can sort out for next season.
Yeah, I mean, Dudley says, I understand Greg thought we were trying to test Tickle. We certainly got a few balls in there, didn't we, Lewis? But it was the other end where our problem was. I'm wary that I focus on the defending as a squad a lot this season, but if we could defend, goals-wise, we'd be in the top six, but we can't defend, and that's a big problem we've had all season. So, I mean, we'll hear when I speak to Nathan, I ask him about how he's going to fix that, because at what point does it stop being... Look, I mean, it felt like they tidied up a little bit when Nathan came in, but we still only kept maybe two clean sheets, I think, under Nathan, only five in the whole season, which is nowhere near good enough. And we still have that in us. You know, the two goals, I think Gillespie got beaten too easily for the first one by Godo, who was very good on loan from Fulham. Isted made a save, which one of those, sometimes you sort of say, you think maybe he could palm it out, but maybe not with that one. It was quite direct at him, but then maybe slow to get to the rebound. And then when you look at actually the defending for the second, both Hector and Thomas getting sucked towards the ball, that's the sort of thing that shouldn't really happen. And then Gillespie was a bit unlucky with the fact he got back across, but it took a deflection off him. But you know, overall, we're like, we have a massive problem at that part of the pitch. So at some point, something's got to address that. And Nathan highlighted himself that so far he hasn't.
Yeah, 100%. You know, if you look back at some of our results this season, and I'd love to know how many goals have come from defensive howlers, because that has been an area we have really, really struggled. And it's been our Achilles heel all season. You know, I can probably think of at least 10 goals we've conceded where it's come from a bit of a defensive howler. And you're not even limiting it to the old player. It seems to be that everyone has had their fair share of errors. You know, even the likes of Lloyd Jones is probably seen as one of the fewer success stories at the back this season. Has been at fault for a few goals this season. Gillespie has come in and he's made a few errors. I remember at Derby, at home, he'd made the error. Hector, we know, obviously, has made a few errors in his Charlton career, and Terrell as well. And you know, ultimately, we've got the top scorer in the division. We're 15th in the table. And ultimately, that comes down to, yeah, we might be good at sticking it in the back of the net, but we're not very good at keeping it out of our own. And as you say, like, you'd love to know where we'd end up if we had shored things up at the back, if we did have maybe those better performers in that defensive line to try and shore things up. Some of it may even come down to the goalkeepers themselves. You know, I'd probably look at both Isted and Ashley, and I don't really think either of those keepers would play for the teams in the top six. I mean, obviously, I know Harry played for Barnsley in the playoff final last year, but I don't think he featured massively over the season for them. I think it's such a crucial part in this division. You know, I think this year, League One overall, and it's no disrespect, but the quality in League One has been pretty poor this year, and the fact that we're 15th in it is incredibly disappointing. But ultimately, a lot of that comes down to the fact that we give away silly goals and we have silly errors. And when our confidence was really low, we weren't able to get ourselves back into games or get ourselves ahead in games to prevent us, you know, dropping points. Under Nathan, the performances have been much better. And we've seen those losses turn into draws because we've been able to get into games. And we've seen, obviously, a couple of wins in there as well. But yeah, it's going to be a real area that he has to focus on in the summer, because you know, you can't get out of this division shipping goals like that, and you can't be expecting to just outscore teams to get yourself into the top six, because you're giving yourself an uphill battle before you even kick the ball. So yeah, it's going to be a real area of focus for Nathan and the backroom team during the summer. And hopefully we see either some reinforcements in terms of playing personnel that shore up that back line, or we see a bit of a boost in performance from some of the players that are here, because, you know, some of them are out of contract, some of them aren't. So the ones that are going to be here, for me, need to up their game next season, if I'm being critical.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, and we've got the sixth worst defensive record in League One this season, you know, and we've effectively had a whole season now. So you, if it's five games in, then you can say, well, maybe this is a bit of a wobble, but it's an entire season. And don't forget, last season, we were probably in the bottom eight, I think, for goals conceded as well. Michael said those two goals, they just steamed right through us. Sam says, I can't believe we're still making so many defensive mistakes. How much better are we really under Jones and Appleton? You know, defensively, yeah, like I say, Nathan says it himself when I ask him about that defensive situation later on. Our goals, bit of luck perhaps about the first one. I mean, you can tell it might be a foul when even Terry is suggesting in commentary that there should be a foul given against Charlton, but it wasn't. I was slightly surprised when I saw it back that it wasn't given Mark. But yeah, the second goal, George Dobson, absolutely fantastic performance from him, and floated over to Chuksunike, who had an absolute howler just moments before, so did well to make sure he didn't make the same mistake twice.
Yeah, I mean, lovely cross, and Chucks did what Chucks does. I think you'd look at their goalkeeper as the ball's come over him. He's totally all at sea. If he'd stayed on his line and gone sideways, he might have got a hand to it. But the thing about Chucks, and it's noticeable, because obviously he can't risk sprinting. So he hasn't got the ability to shut down defenders when they've got the ball or shut down the goalkeeper. And their goalkeeper, I think if you've had, you know, he's had May running at him like a real whippet. And as soon as we took May off, he lost that. And so he didn't have as much pressure. And I thought he was just primed for another mistake. And I expected him to kick one straight to us anyway. So, no, yeah, Chucks his miss. It any other part of his leg and that just bobbles in. I mean, he's just shinned it straight over the bar. But, you know, like I said, he said himself, he's his own critic, he realised, and he keeps his head up, keeps going, gets his goal. So puts him on 2 for the season. So it's difficult because the way we're playing at the moment, and we are attacking, I'm not a great fan of Lualu. I don't think he's actually brought us anything. It's the Lualu of 5-6 years ago, yeah. But now he seems... I think that's a bit of a strange one. Obviously, we had to make a sub early on, so that limited the rest of the subs we made. It's difficult because once you've got Chucks up there and Connor Wickham, both sort of like fairly big built guys, you're going to be sort of like playing one way. And you're thinking, right, let's get Campbell, let's get Loire out wide, then swing in those crosses and do something. But we didn't really do that. I mean, Campbell had a couple of opportunities, had a good shot, thought he was going to repeat his rocket shot from before. So he's looking like nifty again. Loire, like I said, if he did cross the ball, it very barely made the first man. Dobson's good cross. It's hard to say if I feel that we deserved 3 points from that 15 stupid minutes in it. So, you know, for chances, yes, but from our whole gameplay overall, no, probably not, if I'm honest.
Quite a few people saying maybe we should have a look at that Godot. The pronunciation, I was told it before the game, I was told it's actually Godot, but people were saying Godot or Godu or whatever. But he did look lively, didn't he, on loan from Fulham. All hell let loose, thought he was exceptional for the first 10 minutes, but then disappeared for the rest of the game other than the assist. But yeah, based on the one game I've seen of him, I'd sign him, but that's not really how you should do your transfer policies, because we've been bitten by that before. All hell let loose says, Luai kept it very basic. I can't see him with us next season. Before, Terrell was by far our best defender, perhaps my man of the match. And partly the problem we've had over the last couple of years is we do have defenders who, for like 80 minutes, can look fairly competent or do their job fairly, you know, fairly quietly, but just get it done. But then we have those little brain farts almost, Lewis, and we've had that consistently for 2 seasons now. So at what point do we say, right, 4 different managers have tried to coach these lapses in concentration out of this side? You know, where does it need changing?
Yeah, and it always, like, these rises in performance, if you can call them that, would always tend to tie in with the end of the season and those players being out of contract in the summer. I think we saw it last year. Terrell became a real good performer for us at the back end of the season, earned himself a new deal. I think he's out of contract this summer as well, and it seems to be that he comes alive in the last sort of 10 games. The same with Heck and stuff. You know, we've seen a few better performances from Hector as well, but I agree with you. You know, the players, they've been here a while now. You know, I know Hector and Thomas have been the last couple of seasons. Jones has only had this season, and he's injured at the moment, so you can't really judge. But yeah, these players, you know, if we want to be pushing, we can't settle for the same the players that can't get us up. You know, it's 2 seasons now back to back where we've been like mid-table mediocrity, and we don't want to be that. You know, our end goal is to be much higher than that. We don't want to be sat stewing in League One for years playing mediocre football, changing manager every 6 months and settle in for that, because we're better than that as a football club. It's pretty obvious that we are. So, you know, we've got new owners in that hopefully are going to invest in the summer and bring in better performers. You know, they say about their 8-8-8 recruitment system, how that comes into play will be good to see, because I don't know really, if apart from maybe Alfie and Dobbo, how many of our current players I would call elite within that 8-8-8 system. So there's a lot of business to be done there if that's what they want to be doing. You're looking at another 6 elite players coming in. And they're the changes that are going to get you further up the division. You know, a lot of these players, they are quite likeable. The likes of Terrell, the likes of Michael Hector, people like that. But they've had two seasons. They've not got us up. You know, they've not performed consistently. And I think that really is where you draw the line with people like this. If you have serious ambition to push yourself up the division, you have to be a bit more ruthless. And I don't think we have been recently, because I think a lot of our transfer business has been by force of hand because we've left it too late. We've had ownership stuff going on in the background where we've been left with, you know, the players at the end of the market that need clubs, like, you know, Mark referenced Loa, maybe a bit of an underwhelming signing so far, because ultimately he was a free agent at the end of January, and that's the sort of player that we're attracting at the moment because we're in the bottom eight teams in League One. So, you know, a lot of what we do moving forward is going to come heavily on recruitment, and I really hope that Nathan's the one that leads that recruitment drive in the summer, because the recruitment that we've had so far hasn't been good enough, and that's been one of our major Achilles heels, if you like. You know, the players haven't been good enough. There's been some questionable managerial decisions made in that period as well. And I think now we've got a man who is a manager, who is going to drive us forward, who's got the fans on side, has got us playing better, has got players that we didn't think had it, playing with a lot more confidence and a lot more ability. Let that man lead the charge next season, off, you know, off the pitch of the recruitment, and let him bring in the players that you want to bring in.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew says that Terrell has been fine at centre back, not so much when Apple's played him at left back. Sam thinks he's been harsh on Thomas. He says he's been solid for the last 15 games. Also, he also says, I think Small and Ramsey coming in has highlighted how allergic Tanai Watson is to defending. Well, let's hear what Nathan Jones had to say then on Tuesday after the Wigan game. Then we'll come back and speak a little bit about his thoughts that he gave to me after the game against Wigan on Tuesday.
Another entertaining game here at the Valley. What's your overall feelings at the end of it?
A little bit disappointed we didn't win the game because we created enough chances, but level of performance was there. We had probably a 7 or 8 minute spell second half where they've scored two goals, which we've got to be better at, which I'm really, really disappointed about. But you know, in terms of going forward, we've created enough chances to win more than one game tonight, and good chances as well, very, very good chances. So I'm very proud of the performance, proud of the character to come back when they score two and take the lead. We're showing character that we don't want to lose this unbeaten run. So a lot of pleasing things. Just disappointed we didn't have 3 points.
Yeah, I guess the manner of those two goals would have come as a bit of a shock the way you conceded, because the game didn't feel like it was going that way at all.
I am. But look, we haven't kept many clean sheets this year. This team hasn't kept many clean sheets. We've got three managers now and no one's kept clean sheets, me included. So that's something that we need to address, and we've got to be better at, because I don't want us to have to score three goals at home to win a football game. But in terms of, you know, the level of intensity, everything they did, I'm really pleased with, because I thought there was so many parts of our game that was really, you know, it was excellent. It's just other things we've just got to be slightly better at. One, our conversion rate. You know, we've had 20 shots today in terms of that, and then making sure that we don't concede two poor goals, really.
Yeah, so I don't want to focus too much on the defence, but how hard is it to fix something like that when it has been a problem for a long term?
Well, look, we it's either work or personnel, so we'll do lots of work, and if we can't, if the work doesn't do it, we'll change personnel. That's the only thing we'll do. So, you know, we've got to be better. You know, we lost a few little individual battles, and then they broke on us for two goals. Counter-attacks cost us twice, really. Now, they play a certain way. They gamble, and we didn't punish them. You know, they play with people in real false positions and so on. And we created enough to have punished them tonight. You know, if that's 4-5-2, then no one's moaning. No one's saying, wow, you got lucky there, because we've created lots and lots of chances. But when you don't put them away, then it's a 2-2 game, and that wasn't a 2-2 game.
Yeah, when you talk about that intensity, I guess it's following up from what we saw on Saturday as well, and they are starting to play more in your image, as you said, over the weekend.
Oh, absolutely. Look, there's so many positives from it, and then the game changes we brought on, and as I said earlier on in press, we drew a game here at Easter Monday against Stevenage, and we drew today, but this was a better point than the Stevenage one. Against Stevenage one, we were passive, we weren't aggressive enough, whereas today we were front-footed pretty much all the night. Things we can learn from defensively, and then, as I said, just take your chances and we win that comfortably.
The goal that gave Charlton the lead for the first time in the game, and that was a bit of luck, I guess, that John perhaps been lacking at times this season.
Yeah, well, look, it evens yourself out. If you have a bit of bad luck through the season, you tend to have some. But we've had some really good, played some wonderful football at times. First half, it would have been, if Caroy could have got a shot off earlier, for example, that would have been a wonderful goal. Went from back to front, really. I thought structurally we were good. We were aggressive in our press. Just lacked a little bit of cutting edge. But then second half, we came out with like a house on fire. We created, you know, 2, 3, 4 chances. We missed chances. Then, even again, Chuck's had a great opportunity from point blank, from wonderful play again. And look, we've been front. We've had, as I said, for 20 shots tonight. We've had double A shots on target in terms of everything. So it shows that, you know, we've had a right go tonight, and we've, and the fans would have, they won 3 points, but they would have seen a team that's proper front footed tonight.
It's a lovely assist from George Dobson for Chooks' goals as well. I think on Saturday you said something like, people might not realise how good a player he is. Is that the sort of thing you're referring to?
Absolutely. He affects the football game. You look at him, you know, he creates chances for people, and he takes on board stuff. But then the one he puts, he's actually sliding in and puts the best ball of the game in. Like, that if we've had 2 centre-forwards, I would have thought one of them would have been on the end of that. But he affects the football game. People think he's an out-of-possession player because he runs about and slides in and wins it, and people think, oh, yeah, he's a defensive midfield player. He's not. He's a better footballer than people give him credit for. And I've seen that, and I've recognised that. And, he's affected pretty much every game of football he's played for us, and that's all you can ask for a midfielder.
You got booked again today. What was the referee saying that was for?
Well, I think it's an absolute disgrace. Their boy, and I'll name him Johnny Smith, no touchy, they fall over and the referee gives the thing. I think it's a disgrace. I think it's an absolute disgrace that people get away with that. And it's frustration because, for me, it would anger me as a player that someone was doing that. It would anger me. And it angered me as a manager. So I showed my frustration, and you get booked because you can't show your frustration. But book him for diving. It's cheating. It's wrong because there's no contact. But nowadays you got to give it because you don't want controversy, you don't want this, so you got to give it. But it's just frustrating. So I got booked for frustration.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, the River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer. It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your matchday routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones, talking about the draw with Wigan on Tuesday. Plenty of talking points in that. We're going to hear from Chooks Aniki shortly. We're also obviously going to look ahead to Cambridge later on in the show. But just on, Lou, just on obviously the Dobson stuff, there was a bit more of it later on in the press conference, which I didn't put in because we didn't have time. But obviously, Nathan brought up again how he'd love George to stay. But we know the situation. He's got his pre-contract agreed. Robert says, and if it means we have to sign him back, how much would does everyone think we should pay? How much is Dobbo worth? But I mean, is that even a realistic option? Can you see that happening where we go out and re-sign him after what's happened?
It's so difficult, isn't it? Like, I mean, obviously, I would love him to stay. I want him to stay because I love George Dobson. I think he's, you know, been a fantastic footballer for us, you know, in two or three seasons where it's been fairly forgetful. He's been brilliant. You know, he's been really, really good. He's been a consistent performer. The way he started his career with us was very stop-start. Jacko came in and gave him his opportunity, grabbed it with both hands, and he's been an ever-present since then. And, you know, I think he's a brilliant captain. I think sometimes his leadership's come into question a few times, but I think it's more that he epitomises what it is to play for Charlton, like that desire, that 100% effort, that care, like we see from Alfie. Like, I think those two are real, you know, like they're very at the very top of what it means to be a Charlton player at the moment in this current crop. And I'll be really, really sad if he does go. I mean, I don't know how the deal works with this pre-contract agreement. You know, I'd assume that they're expecting him to sign for this Hungarian side in the summer. But, you know, does he want to go? I don't know. Like, you know, ultimately, if Nathan wants him to stay, it's just a shame that Nathan didn't come in a little bit earlier and be able to make that decision. But, you know, in my opinion, if Nathan's the one that's in charge of the team and George wants to stay, and there's a viable option for us to do something that means he stays here beyond the end of the season, then I think we have to do it. How realistic that is, I don't know. You know, and for George as well, if he's, you know, financially, if he's got a good package out in Hungary to join this side, and, you know, he might fancy a new challenge. But I can't imagine, you know, I think under Nathan Jones, he'd want to stay here and be that captain that leads us to a potential promotion charge next season with a manager that's instilled a bit of belief back into the football club. You know, I hope it's something we can do. I think it's a massive balls up by the club, by Andy Scott, whoever, that they've let this situation happen. But, you know, this is the position that we're in. And for me, that this highlights exactly why Nathan Jones should be the one in charge of the recruitment in the summer, because this is, you know, one of the biggest balls ups I've seen at this football club, and that's given something, given what we've been through the last few years. So, you know, look, I hope something can be done and that he stays, because I think he's fantastic. A very likable guy, gives 100%. You know, I enjoy watching him play for us, and I'd love for him to be the one that lifts any potential trophy for us next season if we do get promoted. But I don't know. You know, it's tough. If it's a really unrealistic financial package, you then have to look and say, what would that do in terms of the finances available to strengthen other areas of the squad? But if it's doable, it's a no-brainer. He has to stay.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew's saying, are we sure that Dobbo wants to re-sign for us? Well, you know, George hasn't really done any interviews since this whole kerfuffle. But, you know, there was a lot of noise around the time that George was maybe disappointed not to have got the offer that he was expecting, and you know, maybe he felt like his hands were tied with this offer with the Hungarian side. Obviously, it was on the verge of happening in February, when just before the Hungarian window closed, and then it sounds like Nathan Jones put a stop to that. That seems to be the way it went. Michael said, I don't think it's realistic he stays. Suddenly we agreed to pay him the wages which he previously wanted and we wouldn't pay, but maybe Nathan is different on that regard. Sam said, wouldn't it be harder and more expensive to find a replacement? Easier just to admit the mess up and pay to keep him. John says he doesn't think he'll stay. That's why Coventry was signed. Andrew reckons it's the biggest mistake since Jan. Joe says that we're craving new signings in various positions, but let's make sure we hold on to what's already clicking on the field. As all hell let loose points out, he does seem to care, doesn't he? Lewis, in terms of Dobbo, which is the way of it, Alan says, if we're cutting the squad so we can pay him more, maybe we should do that. As per the defence, just so now you've heard the comments as well from Nathan there, Mark. So Murray saying NJ hit the nail on the head, three managers and no clean sheets. So he said strong hints at changing personnel. When I typed up in a week, I said it came across as a warning to me, buckle up your ideas or there will be changes.
Yeah, and I think that's well, he's got to be honest with them. I like the fullbacks. I like Small and I like Ramsey. I think they're both sort of like exciting players. You know, whether there's cover for them afterwards is negotiable. I think what we're missing, And it's going to sound funny because Hector's a very experienced defender. And to be honest, Terrell Thomas is. And, you know, the guys who come in, but Ness is the only one who's really, you know, he came in, did well, you know, suffered probably maybe from being a bit too young to come into that kind of like team. But I was never the greatest fan of Jason Pearce. Never really was. But as a captain, he was an organiser. He was a jeer up. He was a shouter. And, you know, he was a big, tough guy, physical, loved the battles. But he didn't let the people either side of him sort of like slack. And sometimes you look at our defence and you wonder if a back five actually talk to each other. Dylan Phillips used to shout all game at the defence, all game. Harry Eisted and Ash as well, it's not their natural thing. And I think communication, I remember saying this many times before on the show, communication sometimes across the back can be the key. You've got to know who's going forward, who's going for guy. I mean, the biggest mistake is both Hector and Terrell went for the same guy on Tuesday night and then just drove through straight through past them. And you're thinking, if there's communication, it's like one drops off, one can come across and cover. By the time the cover's there, it's too late. So if all, you know, Jones, I liked what I've seen of him this season. So, you know, we need a Piercy type character. Someone, I don't care. You know, I'm looking through the comments and people saying, oh, maybe Bowers back. I don't think that's a way to go. You know, to go back to sort of like people like that. I don't think it would be the right thing. There must be a defender out there we can use who's got that thing about them. I mean, if you've played any kind of football, it's noisy sometimes. But sometimes on our pitch, our defence doesn't seem to be talking to each other. And that's been the response for a lot of games. And I can understand Jones saying, you know, ship up, shape up, ship out. And he's obviously seen looked at some of our previous games as well. He'd be a fool if he wouldn't. And seen the same people making the same mistakes. So there are people who, when it comes to contracts being handed out, and it always, we do say, you know, towards the end of the season, people looking to impress to get another contract. No one in that defence, and like I say, apart from the two fullbacks, has impressed me enough to be said, yeah, I want to keep you for next year. And like Lewis said, it's the same people who have not done the job properly for us for the last two seasons. So why would you trust them again? Even under Nathan Jones, why would you trust them again? They're going to do the same things. I mean, there's only so many times you can see a defender coming out and hold his hands up and go, oh, sorry, yeah, that was my mistake, whoopsie, before you go, well, sorry, you know, not good enough. Definitely not good enough. You think you're better than you are. You're not. So, you know, get someone else in who can prove it, try it. You know, that's the way I'd look at it.
Excellent stuff. Right, plenty more discussion to be had, but we have got another interview to play, and then we want to turn our attention to the game with Cambridge. Someone that Tuesday evening, I was lucky enough to speak to Chuksaniki after his goal salvaged that point for the Addicts 10 minutes from time. Obviously, been a bit of a difficult campaign for him once again with his injury problems. But Tuesday, after his miss, when he did get his goal, was obviously a nice night for him. So let's hear what Chuks made of the 2-2 draw with Wigan.
Entertaining game at the Valley this evening. What did you make of it?
Started well, got up in the game, shouldn't let them back in. We did, and obviously I've come on, I've had a few chances, I had my chance before, and then had a score to equalise. Overall, you know, what's the point? Disappointed to get a point. Should we be beating them? You know, we had enough chances to beat them, and you know, we let them back in the game basically, so we should have beat them. So disappointed a little bit, but you know, it's another draw, and you know, we're still unbeaten, so.
Well, it's nice to pop up with a goal, especially one that earns your side a point near the end there.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've been pushing for one, you know, since I come back, and everybody knows my season this season's been up and down. I've been injured for a lot of it, but you know, testament to myself, I just, you know, keep going and keep when I do play and you try and make a difference. And you know, today I was able to score, so I'm happy with that. Yeah.
A striker like yourself, you love to see a cross being floated over like that one from George, is begging to be headed home.
Yeah, you know, when he stands the ball up, your eyes just light up. Do you know what I mean? Because you know it's a great ball, and you know, fair play to Dobbo, he's been unbelievable.
obviously, you know, the situation with him. But, you know, he's been unbelievable. He's been playing unreal. And, you know, I say floated a great ball and, you know, I'm happy to score.
And was it playing on your mind, that chance you had a few moments before that?
Definitely, you know, and the penalty miss. You know, I'm my own biggest critic. No one has to tell me, you know what I mean? It stays with me, but in life, you know, you've got to keep bouncing back. You know, I wouldn't be here in my career if I never always bounce back. You know, you take the rough with the smooth, and I always do that, so...
Yeah, you mentioned you have had to do that at times this season with your injuries as well. I mean, how frustrating has that been that this occurred again this year?
Definitely. You know, I'll go into the summer and have a little reflection, but it's been tough, you know. It's been really tough. I don't want to dwell on it. It's been tough. You know, sometimes you go out there and you just think, am I going to be able to, like, complete, you know, come on and complete the game? You know what I mean? Like, got a bit ridiculous, you know, a bit embarrassing as well, but I say just keep bouncing back. I don't care, you know, as long as, you know, I'm playing for this great club, you know, I'm just going to keep giving my all.
You mean, so you're going to reflect on it over the summer? What would you mean by that? Think about how it's affected you personally?
Yeah, just like mentally, you know, as a footballer, you know, you spend a lot of time by yourself, and you know, it's tough. It's tough in the gym, and you know, I'm a footballer. I'm not here to do, you know, I've said it before, but I'm not here to just be in the gym. You know, it takes a toll on you mentally. So yeah, that's what I mean by that. You know, it takes a toll on you mentally. I reflect and, you know, work on what I can and try and make next season a much better season.
Do you think fans understand how hard it can be? Because obviously no player wants to be injured for long term.
Well, I can only say, you know, the Charlton fans have been unreal with me. You know, they've been amazing with me. They always, you know, support me. So that's all I can say. You know, I appreciate all the support from the fans. And like I said, as long as I play and I get any sort of minutes, I'll always give my all.
What do you sort of set as a target for next year? Do you think about sort of in terms of minutes or in terms of goals or anything like that?
Yeah, no, I'm not really setting any targets, you know, and just better than this season, you know, just much better than this season. Hopefully I can play. And, you know, if I play, you know, I'll show what I can do. So just as long as I'm just fit. So I'll go away and, you know, analyse and, you know, try to do what I can do and try to just go again. That's what you can do as an athlete, as a player. That's what you can do.
Obviously, Charlton are quite strong in the forward department this season with Alfie's goals, but it's always nice to ask about the younger strikers, like someone like Dan Carney, who's had quite a breakthrough season. What have you seen from him in training and in games?
Well, yeah, Dan's been unreal. You know, obviously he went alone and Southend, and you know, he's done well over there, and he's come back, and to be fair, he scored goals before he even went out there. So I think it's been a great season for him. You know, he works hard, he's always pressing, and you know, he knows where the goal is. So, you know, he's got a bright future, and you know, I'm looking forward to seeing where he goes.
So you, yourself and Alfie, as the more senior boys, do you sort of rally around him and try and guide him in how to become the player that he has become so far?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was trying just, you know, as the older players, just try and just like help the young players, you know, just give them a bit of guidance, a little bit of experience, you know, when you can, you know, coming from that youth football to the first team football, it's a jump. And, you know, I think some of the young boys done great this year. But, you know, just giving them that extra bite and that extra edge that you need, you know, so it's men's football. And, yeah, it's very competitive. And, you know, they respond to it amazing. So, yeah, it's just, they should be delighted with themselves.
Just looking ahead to Cambridge on Saturday, obviously Charlton have ended the season pretty strongly with this unbeaten run. It'd be nice to continue that for the rest of the campaign starting Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Gaffer's come in and he's given us a identity. You know, he's made us competitive and, you know, it's another game. There's no reason why we can't beat them. We should go over there with the same attitude and, you know, try to get the 3 points.
Didn't realise I've been on mute the entire time there. Sorry, everybody. But I've introduced Jack in that time. So, Jack, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Excellent stuff. Right. So, as I was saying to myself, Chooks was talking about the game coming up this weekend. Obviously, Charlton in a rich vein of form. How would you assess Cambridge's season so far?
Just kind of stop-start, really. We've never really got going. You know, we've won 2 games on the bounce only 3 times this season, which kind of defines the season completely. You know, we had a good start and it looked like we might kind of be, you know, a bit more of a League One side than we, you know, everyone had us down for. But we're still at this point in the season and still looking over our shoulder. Whilst the Easter weekend went well, I think we're still kind of worried about, you know, having to win another game. And, you know, you guys are coming to the Abbey on Saturday and we see that as, you know, the game we could win, but yeah, we still need another 3 points, I think, to get over the line.
Hi, Jack. You join an elite club that we're in this season, having 3 managers this year. Where do you see everything going for the remainder of the season? And do you think with Gary Monk coming in, is he going to be the person you think can, if you do stay up, which, you know, it looks like you will, touch wood, there'll be someone that can maybe push you on to the next level, given the pedigree in the Championship? Or was it a bit of a surprising appointment for you, given he was out of football for a little while?
I mean, it was a surprising appointment because Neil Harris basically bolted out the door out of the blue. I mean, we had to get someone in, and Gary Monk seemed like quite a shrewd appointment, even though he hadn't had a job in a while. We weren't expecting to have to bring anyone else in. You know, Neil Harris was the guy to navigate us to the end of the season, but he got a better offer or whatever the rigmarole of that whole Millwall thing was. But yeah, Gary Monk's come in. He's, you know, he had a tough start, but he's come in and navigated us through a really horrible Easter weekend. And, you know, we've come out the other side of it looking in really good place. We lost at Blackpool, but that's no surprise. So yeah, what we need to do is guarantee safety and then kind of go again. We're gonna lose quite a lot of our squad over summer. So if Monk's the man in charge, then he needs to really recruit and kind of rebuild the squad. So if we stay up, then yeah, he's the man. And if we go down, then he's definitely the man. But yeah, there's a lot to be done before now and the end of the season.
Ah, Jack. Question. You've picked up a couple of our ex-players who we know fairly well in Mr. Taylor and Mr. Offside Bon. I don't know how much they've played since they've signed for you, but how have you felt they've settled into your side?
Lyle Taylor had an amazing start. And yeah, we were all kind of like rubbing our hands together, and then did the cardinal sin of getting a red card before our big derby, and then Neil Harris left. So yeah, that was the worst week of our Football League tenure. So yeah, Lyle Taylor since then sadly picks up an injury, hasn't really done much since. We all know he's got a bit of a, you know, a bit of a reputation, you know, a bit of an attitude. So great start, but didn't push on. Macaulay Bon, it's just not happened for him. Like you say, might be called Mr. Offside. He's missed a couple of kind of gilt-edged chances for us. So it's not happened for Bon for sure. And whilst Taylor had a good start and has contributed, you know, he's injured, out injured this weekend. So yeah, we're without him for what could be a really crucial game. So it's not really happened for either of them.
I've seen that. I think Michael Morrison might be out as well, another one of our former players. Have you still got Jordan Cousins and the likes of Silly Kai Kai as well? You're effectively like a Charlton B team from years gone by. Looking ahead to Saturday's game, then I think we've won on both of our recent trips over the last couple of seasons to the Abbey. But do you come into it with an air of confidence against the side? Obviously, we're on a decent run of form at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you'd spoken to me before the Easter weekend, I would have been like counting the goals. But I think we showed a bit of mettle and showed what we can do, you know, against good teams. And whilst we went up to Blackpool and lost, I feel like we've kind of come back from what was a really difficult time. You know, we lost 6-0 at Lincoln and 4-0 at Reading, and it looked pretty disastrous at that point. Come back and beat Barnsley and Wigan, we've showed that we've got a bit of backbone, we've got a bit of quality, and I think, you know, we can come out and give kind of anyone a game. And, you know, the Blackpool game was nip and tuck, and you know, Blackpool took that away, but I feel like we can give Charlton a game on Saturday, and we, you know, we've got something to play for. We need, you know, a point or three to keep us safe. So yeah, the players will be up for it. You know, Gassan Ahadmay's come back, and probably our player of the season, even though he's played half the season, you know, and he won our player of the month after coming off the bench two times, and that was it, you know. So we've got some real goal threat back now. So yeah, I feel like Cambridge United, whilst we lost the last game, tails will be up, and I feel like we can get something from the game.
Excellent stuff. Well, Jack, thanks for your time this evening. Look forward to the game on Saturday, and hopefully you guys can get the results you require other than on Saturday to stay up, because always enjoy a trip up to the Abbey.
Cheers. Thanks for having me on.
There we go. That's Jack Swindlehurst from the Under the Abbey Stand pod. Very good Cambridge pod. Well worth a listen if you want to get some info on the opposition. Let's look ahead to the game then from a Charlton point of view. I've got a very brief clip of Nathan Jones looking ahead to the match. Then we can come back and we'll have a bit of a discussion about what team we'd like to see line up. And we'll talk a little bit more about what Chooks had to say in his interview with me as well.
In the past already about our support, especially on the road. And it'll be another sellout travelling crowd on Saturday to back the team. They'll have a painful memory of what happened against Cambridge. You weren't here, of course, but a painful memory against Cambridge at the Valley, relinquishing a two-goal lead very late on. So the fans will be wanting to get one out of them.
Well, look, I think it's a lovely game for the fans. You know, Cambridge is a wonderful place, you know, in terms of going to visit, and it's not some of the journeys they've had to do, you know. Cheltenham on a Tuesday night, Derby on a Tuesday night, all the way up to Bolton, Fleetwood on a windy, terrible day. This Saturday in April would be a slightly more pleasant affair, you'd imagine. And I'm delighted that they turned out in force again, because we can fill that away end behind the goal of real fond memories of managing against Cambridge. And we'll want another positive performance and a positive result. That's what we want. And we want them to play their part in that, but for us to give them something to really get behind.
There we go, that's Nathan. Briefly looking ahead to Saturday's trip to Cambridge. Sounds like he really likes the area, Mark. I wonder if he's ever gone punting or anything like that on the River Cam. But yeah, from our point of view, we are obviously 12 unbeaten now. We are in a reasonable vein of form, although there'll be a handful of those ones that we should have won rather than drawn. How do we attack sort of the rest of the games this season? There was something interesting he said to Rich in the press conference that I saw. We've been discussing maybe whether we'd think about dropping players who aren't going to be here next season and to experiment, but he's very much said no. You know, same with George and other players who might not feature next year. He'll play whatever he considers his strongest 11 between now and the end of the season. So perhaps we won't see some of those experiments that we've been calling for to sort of lay some groundwork for next year in that vein.
Yeah, I mean, he still wants to win. And I think if he feels that blood in somebody or blood in putting a couple of youngsters in won't get that, he won't do it. And, you know, fully get behind that. It's nice to see the youngsters making the bench. And there's, you know, it seems to be that we've got another couple of young strikers who are doing well. However, if you're looking at Ladapo and Wickham and Kanu, Chucks and May, you go and drop one of those out. Now, my thoughts about it are, if he's thinking about Wickham for next season in any way, shape or form, he's got to get him starting alongside Alfie, and then maybe put Kanu on a bench with Chucks. If he's not thinking of giving him a contract, which obviously he's thinking about now, I don't see the point of dragging him along. It's a strange thing, slightly off from that. It was watching the game, Peterborough game last night. They've got six players who are on double figures for goals in Peterborough, and you're on a mediocre team. We've got one with Alfie May. And so I think what you're going to look for is looking to get goals through the team. And we don't seem to have it. Obviously, Corey was next highest and he's gone. Leeburn's been out injured. You know, maybe a midfield with Campbell. If Campbell gets a few more starts, he might get a few more goals. I mean, for me, I'd bring Campbell in on Saturday just to get a bit more. I mean, the midfield three I like. I think they're working well. Whether Caroy's got to the end of the season and is now feeling it a bit, because Coventry, I didn't think, had the greatest of games on Tuesday, but probably not enough to be swapped out. But knowing Nathan, he might just swap out Bakinson in for him anyway. And up front, you know, does he start with Kanu and May again? You can't drop Alfie, but maybe Kanu. And like I say, if he's going to think about Wickham, that would be the only other change. So, you know, I can understand wholesale changes. You can say, oh, yeah, we've got nothing left to play for, apart from pride and not finishing sort of like maybe 6 points above the bottom relegated team. So I'd get behind Nathan keeping his what he believes to be his strongest available side.
Yeah, I mean, John said I'd like to see Tyrese Campbell start of the weekend, as Mark said there. And I mean, someone said it much further up in the chat. He has looked a lot brighter when he's come on recently and again on Tuesday night, which I'm pleased about, because obviously I've been a big backer of his, and seeing his dip this season has been quite painful, really, because I thought there was a player there. Maybe we're starting to see a bit more confidence as well now. I mean, Sam has asked a question then, what do you guys think of Coventry in comparison to Dobbo? Lewis, I'll let you answer that one.
I don't think he's there yet. That's all I'll say, really. I don't think he's quite there. There's been some games where I've been really impressed with him, and there's been some where I haven't. I think sometimes he can hit a clinical pass and other times he can't. It's been very much 50-50. I mean, there's obviously a good player in there, and I think that the pros do outweigh the cons. But you know, when you're talking about George Dobson, like he's a bit of a treasure for us. You know, he's one of the most effective players, you know, defensively, midfield wise in the division. His stats are always up there across all the midfielders in the division as one of the best. And you know, they're big shoes to fill if he goes. So for me, look, I think, yeah, Coventry's only been here since January. You've got to give the guy time to settle. He's had two managers in that time to start playing, you know, different systems with and stuff. So, you know, we've got to give the guy time to settle here. But at the moment, you know, I don't think you can quite compare the two. I think Dobson's clear at the moment. But that's my opinion.
Just on the Chuksaniki interview, Mark, you spoke about, obviously, the mental toll it takes on him being injured for such large spells. The bit that got to me, actually, is when he said he felt a bit embarrassed about it. That's when I really felt sorry for him. You know, I've always really rated him as a player when he's been fit enough to start, but or to play, I should say. But obviously, he's had that issue for such a long time with us. You know, he'll be here next season, barring some sort of very strange occurrence, because we still want another deal, and he just can't see how anyone else would take it on. So, you know, while he's here, we've got to support him. That's the way I've always seen it.
Yeah, that's totally it. I mean, obviously, he might just feel he could sit down with his family and talk about it. And like I say, the mental toll on him, because there must be a bit of him, as much as he comes out and he's got fit-ish again. Like I said, he's not a full-on sprinter down. And you could see that on Tuesday. And I think that's fine. It protects his hamstrings. But he must be a point where he looks at it and goes, like, I'm a professional. I cannot give, you know, 80 to 100% in all the games. And if I get, he gets another injury, you think to yourself, that's going to be it for him mentally, because he's just going to take it to heart too badly, you feel. And so if he sits down and, you know, comes in and speaks to the gaffer and says, like, I know it's another year, I'd rather, you know, quit football, I'd rather give it all up. You know, if you tear up my last year, I won't claim for the money kind of thing, because I do feel it's not for me. You know, if I think we would respect that, because he is an amazing weapon and he comes across as such a nice guy and personable and stuff. And like I say, like Joe had said in our chat, look at the opposition bench when they see him warming up and about to come on. And there is a sense of panic. And you can understand why, because you've suddenly got this tank who can hold the ball up, who's got a shot on him, who puts himself around, coming on to batter a couple of centre-halves who've probably been run ragged. So, you know, I think we wait till the summer. If he gets through the next three games and he feels he can do it and he comes back pre-season and he's say, well, I'm good to go, I'm there, I'm mentally there, that's fine. If he comes back and we get the news, he's going, you know what, I don't think I can do this to the best of my ability and I think it's would be wrong for me to stay, you know, fair play. I think he would still leave in being highly regarded by most Charlton fans.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see how that happens. You know, with his contract, I think he stays and sees it out and he wants to play. And I'll be very shocked if anything changed on that front. All Hell Let Loose says this Chuks completed a pre-season with us since we re-signed him from Birmingham. So I'd have to, I'm not certain he did this year. The year before, I think he got injured in that behind closed doors game against Welling, didn't he? So maybe he hasn't done a full pre-season with us. All Hell Let Loose also asked the contract position for Tyrese Campbell. Well, we still haven't had an answer either way, do we? And we know he's out of contract at the end of the year. We still haven't had an indication either way of whether he will be signing a new deal. But again, I'd hope that would be one that we try and get sorted, just because I think he can be a good option for us. Andrew says Chuks, even with his recent misses, has caused his opposition a lot of issues and helps us to see games out. And I do think he has played, you know, to an extent, a part of our long unbeaten run. Obviously, he had a few games out injured in this run, but yeah, he is an important player for us. Right, I mean, finally, Lou, packed out away end again Saturday, as we're becoming accustomed to this season. I've said it before, and I'll say it again: our away support this season has been very, very good. You know, we've sold out the ones that you'd like to sell out. We've taken good numbers to the ones that are a little bit further afield, and hopefully Saturday will be another good day.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it? But I mean, I'm not surprised, to be honest. I mean, it always, you know, seems to be that the away days I've been on this weekend, regardless of the results, have all been incredibly vocal. You know, the noise that the away end generate and the away fans generate is unbelievable. So, you know, hopefully we have a good day Saturday. It's a shame that someone that I don't want to mention might be out injured, because I imagine that would add a little bit of fuel to the fire at the weekend. Yeah, you know, hopefully, and yeah, another sold out away end, decent away trip. Hopefully we go and get a result, and yeah, another great day out for the fans. I mean, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? And hopefully, you know, as we've said before, like, next season's a big one with Nathan, and it feels like everything could hopefully shift in the right direction. If that's the case and we've got this momentum in terms of our away followings next year, then we're going to have a lot of fun, especially if we're at the better end of the table than we are this year. So yeah, fingers crossed to have a good day Saturday.
Excellent stuff. Right, we've come to the end of the Big Match Preview. Hope you guys have enjoyed the show. Thanks very much for tuning in. Big thanks as well to Jack from Under the Abbey Stand for coming on and telling us all about Cambridge United ahead of the weekend. Thanks to Lou and to Mark as well. Good to speak to the Perrier.
Cheers, everyone.
So yeah, make sure you hit subscribe in YouTube or on your podcast app as well, so you never miss another show. We'll be back on Sunday morning to look back at Macaulay Bond's hat-trick for Cambridge at the Abbey Stadium on Saturday. But I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening to Charlton Live, sponsored by the Bruce Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Insulation. We shall see you again on Sunday morning. Charlton Live.